There we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. I am so excited because it is time once again for America's Most Haunted. I'm Eric Olson, and with me, as virtually always, certainly since the summer break, is the world-famous haunted housewife, Teresa Argy. Hello, Teresa. How are you?
Hey, Eric. Hey, everyone. I'm very excited. Very excited for tonight, the return of Ghost Mine. I've been getting my Ghost Mine on.
I was just going over the previous interview, and I kind of forgot that we hadn't even seen the show at all, you know, when we talked to him. So we're in a much better position.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Last year it was before the show premiered. So we talked to you guys, I think it might have been like the day before the show premiered, so we hadn't seen it yet. So
exactly. Well, speaking
awesome.
Of which, let us mention our august guests, Patrick Doyle and Kristen Luman of Sci-Fi's Ghost Mine, which really was a enormously surprising hit in its first season. I remember kind of the grumbling, like, I'm sure, you know, a mine, ghosts. They're just combining all these dumb gold shows with all these dumb ghost shows, and it'll just be a dumb show. Well, it was not at all. It was amazing. Every week was just crazier and crazier, kind of touching on every aspect of the paranormal, as well as the really interesting aspects, of course, of the mining itself, which is dangerous and you know, amazing, and this centuries, if not, I guess, maybe longer than that, you know, millennium-old occupation. People have certainly been looking for gold for an awful long time, and they've been looking for ghosts as well. So welcome to the show. Welcome back, Patrick and Kristen. It is a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back.
Yes, thanks very much.
Our pleasure. And, of course, season two, which has been, what, have we had 3 weeks already now? Well, this week
two
is
weeks.
The fourth.
Yeah, that's what we are, sir.
I guess I was thinking of the special that was on before,
yeah,
where you recapped last year, and that was interesting. But only 2 weeks into this season, there's all kinds of crazy stuff happening already, and the various mysteries are deepening. That was just remarkable that you guys, A, found the Masonic trappings way in the back of this freaking mine, and then you were able to track down what they meant. That was astonishing. What a amazing bit of detective work. How did all that come about?
Just finding that spot.
Well, I mean, the detective work.
What's the question?
How did you track it down? I know you went to the library. Okay. It had taken a while.
Oh, yeah.
The miners actually, you know, really tracked it down for us because they're the ones who did the blast that lead in, you know, further into the tunnel. So, but finding the answers, yeah, that was that was difficult.
Yeah, that was a lot of research. Museums, libraries, asking around town, just finding people who want to talk with us, because any bits of information was very helpful, and you saw what it basically led us to.
Right. Amazing. So is that still your assumption or your analysis that room, that, what was it, what do you guys call it, the ballroom? Which is funny.
Yeah, the guys call it the ballroom.
The miners call it the ballroom, yeah.
Yeah. Because the ballroom is, yeah, it's a mining term. But
all these mining terms. These crazy guys, mining terms.
But for us, it was when we went researching in the library, we found out that it's possible that it's a Masonic room that they used.
I know, it's amazing. Imagine them, you know, hike. How far back in the mine is it?
That's a hike back there. I think it's probably about, I'm guessing, maybe a mile, just less than a mile.
Oh, my God. So, you know, imagine all those people tromping through the mine to get back there to have their little Sikhi meetings. It's quite a picture I have in my mind.
Well, Kristen said the name of it right there. It was the Chamber of Reflection. So it was was definitely a place of special meaning for Masons, new Masons. So for it to be hidden, that's not really too much of a surprise.
But where it's hidden, holy cow. That's pretty extreme, I would say.
Mm.
So I realize you guys have to be careful because we are just, you know, two shows in to the season and you can't reveal a whole lot. But, I mean, is it still your assumption that is true, that that's what they used that room for? And do you know what time period that was?
Jump in there, Kristen.
I know we're both waiting for the other one to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's still an assumption. Everything we found leads to that sort of conclusion. We talk about it more in the next episode, actually, where we explain to the miners where, how and why we would come up with this sort of theory of why that is a room that the Masons would use. So again, like you just pointed out, it's, you know, there's only so much we can say.
Yeah.
But we explain it more in tomorrow night's episode.
Yeah, it really
what's
is tough.
The time frame?
It's really tough to say too much because we don't want to give anything away just because it is pretty incredible. But one thing I can say is that a lot of the questions from last year are answered here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get like carbon date or anything, but we're assuming that the artifacts that we found in that ballroom, that Chamber of Reflection, has to be as old as the mine. So we were thinking, mm-hmm. we were taking it back to 100 years, 1917, like right when the fire that destroyed Sumter happened.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. It's amazing stuff. All right, well, let's back up and let's get into some things you can talk about. Let's talk about that interim period between the seasons. And I remember just following you, Patrick, on Twitter. You were real mm-hmm. – it seemed like you already knew about it, but then you were really excited when you could finally announce that you guys were heading back. What was that time period like? And what were some of the things that you heard about that first season? You know, why did they make that move? Because, I mean, that was kind of one of the central issues that I kept hearing about a show like this is, okay, so, wow, that was ended up being really good. You know, that was a great show. But now what do you do?
Right now it's... I just got to thank all the fans. They're just, it's amazing. We just have just an amazing fan base that just accepted the show, joined us on the adventure, and are just passionate. I think we all just love the passion of our viewers because they get so involved. And Kristen probably too, I get emails every day of people speculating and sending me all this information on Masons and what the VI could be and all this other stuff. So I just love that people are so into the mystery and so into the suspense that they're researching for us and they're looking up this information. So I really just got to give it to our fans out there for giving us this second season and allowing us to go back to the Crescent Mine and find those answers that not only we left with, but we left them with.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So what was the time frame between when you guys wrapped the first season and when you returned to start this season?
The miners, their season ends in the winter. They can't go back in Oregon during the winter time. The weather is just too bad. So when we started this summer, though, we actually started a month earlier than we would have to give us because, you know, last year we were just kind of trying it out, seeing how it was going to work with the miners and Patrick and I, and we all got along and, you know, what we found. And so once that ended and we still had a lot of questions, this year we came back earlier because we knew we probably need more time to get those questions answered. So we were, this year was a bit different because we started a month earlier, we were dealing with different snow and hail and all, you know, you would go in the mine and it was sunny and then you'd come out and you'd come out to a blizzard, you know.
Yeah, that
so,
was
yeah, it was kind of cool to see, but it was also a bit like, you know, is it safe to be up here right now?
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah,
I remember
that
road into town. Isn't the road into town really long and treacherous?
Oh, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, we both hate that road. But
yeah.
Say the road in town isn't bad because it's paved, but as soon as you go down Cracker
yeah.
Creek Road for a bunch of miles, and then it just goes up and along switchbacks because we're at 8,000 feet at the Crescent Mine. So and the Sumter's at 5,000 feet. So we're going up 3,000 feet in a pretty steep angle and not the best road ever.
Well, isn't it
constantly
dirt?
It's dirt and rocks. It's constantly washed out. Kristen mentioned the hail. We had incredible hailstorms that would just destroy the roads. It just wash them out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a rough season going there a little bit earlier, but the guys definitely wanted to get back into that tunnel, and we came along. But it was we paid for it with our the vehicles really paid for it because they had to go over those rocks and that terrain.
How often do you have to go from the mine down to town?
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, mm-hmm. But you're staying up there, right? Or you stayed up there?
No, the miners stay up there.
The miners stay up there, not us.
Yeah. We have our PI shack that's right outside the Crescent, but it's not living quarters. Our living quarters, we have like separate rooms down in Sumter.
Ah.
Although it felt many nights like we were staying at the PI shack.
Oh yeah,
I mean, we would be there until sometimes almost dawn.
Yeah, we've seen the sunrise way too many times in Sumter.
Now I get it. I have a much better picture now. I was trying to visualize how all this worked. Yeah, because of course you're in there at night more often than not because you're working mm-hmm. while they're not, and you know, trying to not step on each other's toes, which brings up a really, really critical point. Clearly, last year, through most of the season, if not all the season, you guys faced a lot of resistance, you know, just to your basic presence initially, especially you, Kristen, being, oh, my God, female, oh, my God, redheaded.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking, how dare you. And... you know, so you guys being professional and successful and efficient and pretty smart the way you handled people as well as circumstances, you know, you definitely seem to slowly but surely win them over. So, I mean, that does seem to be a different it seems to be a different environment now. Is that true or was so, yeah, okay. Good. Tell us about
yeah.
that and how that feels or has felt.
It's night and day, actually, you know, because last year when we came in, I mean, you saw it. You saw all the things they were saying, and they were not happy with us being there. And this year when we walk in, it's completely different, you know, hugs and hellos and happy to be there. And, we've just all become friends, you know. We all know that we work together. I mean, the miners themselves, you know, count on one another to keep each other safe. And I feel like they kind of now feel the same way about Patrick and I. They
yeah.
kind of count on us, not so much to keep them safe, because I don't know if they would ever admit to that. But I feel like, you know. We're part of the group now. We're part of the team, and it's a really great. It's really nice. You know, it's a great feeling to have them up there with us as a part of a friendship now and a part of a team.
And they really seem to respect you. Well, they seem to have gained a lot of respect for
yeah.
both.
Well, there's a mutual respect there. We respect the guys for what they do, and they respect us for what we do. Like Kristen said, we are a team now.
Speaking of which, I have the sense that miners may have fallen from the sky and landed in this discussion. Is that possible?
Yes, it's possible.
Who do we have with us?
This is Jay. What's up, nerds?
Jay.
What's up, guys? And you know what? No matter what Kristen says, we don't respect them. We don't like them. They're ghost hunting freaks, and we don't want them in the mine.
Yeah, but aren't you a greenhorn?
Yes, I am a greenhorn. That is true. But
does that last forever?
Actually, well, you know what? I'll be a greenhorn, I think, for a while. But, you know, I've gotten quite a bit better at mining. But until we get someone else who's got a lower skill set than I do, I think I'm going to be a greenhorn.
I see how it works.
And you thought it almost
happened this
year.
Low man on the totem pole.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, you thought you had it this year, but nope. A guy half your age has more experience than you.
Yeah, I know, Mikey. What a nut.
Jay,
yeah, he just joined us last episode.
Yeah.
I feel like you've really done a very, very good job this year. I feel like you've proven yourself to a lot of the miners.
Oh, well, thank you. It's really interesting because I've actually, regardless of the gold, whether we get gold or whether we find ghosts, I kind of feel like Jamal and I have the most gain. Actually, hold on a second.
Yo.
I think we have Jamal with us.
Yeah, he snuck in on us, so we're getting feedback.
We
I'm
have greenhorns falling from the sky.
We're everywhere. But I what I was saying is I actually feel like we had the most to gain because with, trying to learn how to be miners and all that, we've gained the most from doing all this. So it's really kind of cool.
And you were there from the beginning in terms of this odd juxtaposition of mining and ghost hunting, and you were right there as it transpired and unfolded.
Yeah, it's a bunch of weird crap, damn it.
Well, seriously, on that note, and I guess did we lose Teresa? I guess we lost Teresa. I'm sure
too many people on the line.
I think we can get like 50 at a time, so I don't think we capped that out yet. But seriously, Jay, how did you see this? Because you were kind of in a unique position of being a an outsider, quote unquote, at the beginning. Anyway, obviously things have changed for you as well, of course. But at the beginning here, you were an outsider, so you were kind of observing, both sides of it. You were observing the miners for the first time. And then Patrick and Kristen, as they were doing their thing for the first time, how did you see all that unfold? And was there a particular turning point that kind of sticks out in your mind of when things did start to gel?
You know what? I think the big thing for me, so I'm coming into a situation where ultimately all I really wanted was to make sure that the miners saw me as a good fit, hardworking, responsible, doing my job. I didn't want them to think I wasn't pulling my own weight. So when you have the paranormals coming into it and everyone's kind of like, wait a second, what is this? You're not sure where to stand because I don't know anything about paranormal investigating and I don't know anything about mining. And then they got me playing with dynamite. So I'm trying to fit in the middle of this whole thing. Ultimately, I think the point where I really truly felt comfortable is when Papa Smurf at the end of Season 1 sent me an email and just says, you know what, you did a great job. I wouldn't hesitate to hire you as a greenhorn. And that was the first time I actually felt, you know what, I did what I came to do, and that was the biggest achievement for me right there. As far as the paranormal guys, you know what, I've always had a fascination with ghosts and things like that. So I was more intrigued to kind of see what they were doing. But throughout this whole thing, we've all become really good friends.
It sounds like it. Teresa, you're back. We lost you.
Kinda, maybe.
Hello. Teresa, are you there?
I'm in, Teresa.
I think she's having some
issues. No, but Jamal is.
Yes, Jamal, are you with us?
I am so with you. I beamed
down. Oh, there he is.
Oh, jeez.
Great to meet you,
Kristen,
as well.
I love you. I miss your voice so very much. I can't believe it. It's so awesome to hear you guys.
You too, Jamal.
I saw you.
How long has
earlier,
it been? So. How long has it been since you guys left? Since you stopped?
Wow, I think it's been about a month at least. Almost
yeah.
a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost a month.
I got my hair cut today. Yeah!
Oh, did you get a buzz cut? Or are you still have some length on there?
Like
well,
anyone knows that you wear a bandana the whole time.
I'm going to
yeah,
Twitter
no,
it out.
That's a good point.
Jamal, similarly to Jay, you began the process as an outsider too. How did you see the blending of these two worlds, these two ethos between the miners and the paranormal investigators? When did you see it kind of come together or start to gel for the first time and feel like, hey, this can work, this is going to work, this is a team effort?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because, yeah, Jay and I are both greenhorns, you know, being our first time up on the mountain and doing, you know, something like this. I mean, Jay became my brother instantly. I mean, we really gelled, and then the miners came in and, you know, we got to know those guys. And then here come, you know, Patrick and Kristen. And that was amazing to see the relationship that was built between everyone because, I mean, you've got a group of guys that, you know, take no guff. I mean, they're really hardcore, and they do what they do, and they don't want anybody in their way when they do it. And that was hard for me and Jay alone to, you know, get used to. But having, you know, Patrick and Kristen, which do the paranormal side of things, it was amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. And when it really first started clicking, probably was, I would say, last season around the fourth show, I'm thinking, because they were actually starting to listen and, you know, pay a lot more attention.
Well, there was so much going on. And, I mean, where do you turn to? Here you got these two people who clearly know what they're doing, who take it seriously, who are smart, and they're offering explanations and potential solutions, at least I guess down the line. So, you know, I would think that was just simply in everyone's best interest. It was just one of those things. You know what I was reminded of? I was just kind of thinking as both you guys were talking and back to Patrick and Kristen too. This whole experience, especially the first season, kind of reminded me of a fraternity initiation, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're the pledges. Yeah, we're pledging. Yeah, we're still pledging. No, you know, they haven't. I still got to walk around with the olive between my butt cheeks. Yeah, we're still doing that.
Yeah, I definitely still feel that way.
Yeah, same here. Like, Chris and I are still kind of pledging with a couple of the miners, like our famous skeptics like Eddie and Bucket and Dingus. But again, we love them for the skepticism too, because they actually helped Chris and myself, giving us possible answers to stuff that we're hearing and seeing inside the mine, because these guys have been working in these mines their entire life, like since they were teenagers. So, and Chris and I have only been there like 2 years now. So when we hear something weird, see something weird, hearing Eddie say, well, his favorite line is just timber groaning, but it's a possibility that it is timber groaning because they know the sounds of these mines. They listen to these mines, and you listen to Greybeard and Duck. They basically can speak to the mines. They listen to it. They know that language. So we appreciate every criticism, skepticism, everything.
So they're mind whisperers.
But Patrick, you know, Patrick and Kristen have a great logical explanation, too, and, I mean, they can explain things in such a good way that it's really hard not to understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can all what's interesting about this particular show and the events as they've unfolded is it just really does seem to be this perfect storm of paranormal activity, and it just seems like to me you can only deny what now seems fairly obvious for so long. I mean, how far backwards do you have to bend to keep saying, you know, no, 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 timber groaning, whatever the earth is emitting is complaining or, you know, whatever. Teresa, are you back with us?
Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
Yeah, there we go.
You keep coming and going, man.
Oh, no, I was on. I was on. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, and then I got disconnected finally. So.
All right, it's your turn. Go for it. Your turn.
I have no idea what I missed. I have no idea what I missed, but I hear that Jamal and Jay are on, so welcome,
yes.
Guys.
I thoroughly
enjoy. And you know what? I thought it was a very brave, very, very brave of Sci-Fi Channel to put your recipes online. I've got them written down, and I'm going to try them out.
You're brave for writing it down and cooking it.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we'll see what happens. I mean, good enough for a group of minors will be good enough for my kids, and if they don't like it, I'm blaming you.
Yeah, Jamal is not responsible for whatever happens afterwards.
No kidding. But instead of putting the tri-tip in the pan, try putting the tri-tip on the grill above the pan.
Yeah. That was a typo.
Well, I tell you, I see a lot of differences so far, just in the couple shows that I've seen so far of this season as compared to last season. I think the pacing is much better. I think it's more suspenseful at the end. And I think now everyone's personalities are starting to come out, which I absolutely love, because I love the whole ensemble cast thing. I think it's great. And I like the new edition and the old edition that came back. I think that's so great. Yeah, good old Doug. It was so good to see him back because, you know, for the brief moment that he was on, I don't know what it is, but we just love our older gentleman. And it was good to see him back. So it looks like things are moving along. You got a bigger mucker.
I'm just a crusty old miner.
Yeah, I love it. I'm from a family. I don't know. I talked to Chris.
I got a big ass, long white beard.
I come from a family of coal miners, so I'm family of coal miners, and so I'm used to it. Of course, we weren't digging gold, but so it's great. So far, I think the season's great. I love the special. I thought that was great. It was a good way to see everybody and your interaction. But I have some questions. Kristen, first of all, I'll try to address them. The episode where you guys saw the light when you were in the mine, you and Patrick were in the mine, and you saw what seemed like a light, but then when you went all the way back and you didn't see it, do you have camera crews with you? Did that get caught on, like, on the camera crew's camera that you could go back and look at that footage, or was that something you guys looked at?
The camera crews are never that far ahead, and, I mean, obviously we do have a camera crew following us, so they have to catch us, you know, while we're doing our investigation. Most of the time, Patrick and I forget they're even there. And that's why I give them so much praise, because they don't have any lights on when they do that. We try to make it as keep it as authentic as possible. And so while we're doing an investigation, they have no lights with them. You know, they're just following us around. And if we have a flashlight, they're following our flashlight, you know. So, and that's why I just think the camera guys are so amazing, because we forget they're behind us, chasing us, and, you know, they could easily fall or hurt themselves because we don't pay attention to what they are doing. You know, we're involved in something else at the time. So that wouldn't have been possible for a cameraman to be that far ahead of us where we would see light. They wouldn't have their lights on. I mean, that's just sort of a kind of a known, you know, rule.
And it seems like such tight quarters in the mine. Yeah, it seems like such tight quarters in the mine. And what about when the miners are working? I know that you guys have cameras set up at different areas of the mine. But when there was that loss of time with Mikey and
Bucket.
And they were in there for, 6 hours, and they thought only an hour went by. Was there no camera crew with them or no cameras on them at that time? I would be dying to see what transpired between that time. That, I thought, was probably the eeriest thing that I've seen so far this season. Maybe not the scariest, but definitely the eeriest thing, because that's something that's not that usual in paranormal investigation.
Yeah, well...
Was there any way to
were they under surveillance or on camera at all during that time?
No,
well,
I think we all questioned that, and they actually didn't. They didn't tell us fully. Me and Jay really, you know, pestered them about that, and they didn't talk about it too much. And me and
well,
Jay, you know.
Sorry, the bigger issue is that was back in the ballroom area where Patrick and Kristen hadn't even gotten video surveillance cameras that far back and installed, so we couldn't see anything on the DVR system.
Yeah, we can't even put DVR cameras back there because we lose, because we're splicing cables together as we're going back in the mine, so there's no way to even get DVR system. Of course, there is a cameraman with them because that's what you're seeing on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But that
they don't share that with us all the time.
No,
it's kind of like when the miners watch the show, we're actually seeing what Patrick and Kristen are doing for the first time.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of cool.
And
because,
vice versa, yeah.
Yeah, and the same goes for them, unless we ask them or we're, you know, both in the mine at the same time. But we have no idea what each other is doing.
No, even there's a separation there, so.
Yeah, cameramen are almost like doctors.
Yeah,
patient-doctor confidentiality.
Yeah. Even if the cameraman did experience the cameraman is scared or if the cameraman is, like, experienced that same time, like, loss of time, he's not allowed to talk to us about it because it's separate. It's like, that's just
so
the way it goes.
They can't be involved in the actual... That's interesting. I was just wondering that. I'm like, wow, I wonder who was back there for 6 hours with them. Now,
exactly.
As far as from a paranormal investigator's point of view, and this is probably very different from a miner's point of view, miners, you're in the mine and you're working the same mine now. This is the second season for the miners. And, you know, you dig away a little bit at a time until you hit that pay dirt. But for a paranormal investigator, and Patrick and Kristen, you can both probably attest to this, to be able to spend that much time in one area, how often do you get to investigate the same location over and over again? I mean, as an investigator, I'm lucky if I go back 2, 3, maybe 4 times in ever to one particular place. So to be able to document, that's got to be something, just an incredible experience. And I think this is part of why the show is so successful. You would think in the beginning, I thought, well, this is a special, it's not a series. What are they going to do after they investigate the mine one time? But it's almost like you've turned the whole thing around on its ear. The whole concept of paranormal investigating to just do one place. And I think that's awesome. And I can't wait to see how the season unfolds. I can't see what's next.
Yeah, thanks. We completely agree with you. It's like this is the first time this has ever been done where Kristen and me and myself have been able to investigate a location for this amount of time, and we're working side by side in a working gold mine. Like other gold mines have been investigated before, but they're gold mines that have been shut down for countless years. This is a working gold mine. We're right next to the guys. These guys are experiencing the activity, and Kristen are right outside. So if these guys experience something like you saw Jay experience just last week when he thought someone walked past him, he thought Mikey walked past him, Chris and I are in there within minutes to investigate. And I think that's why we're getting such great evidence, because we're able to investigate basically in real time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I can't wait to see what's next. I can't wait to see what happens next. And what about the town? You guys going to get more into what's going on in the town of Sumter? Is that going to be, you're going to expand into that this season of what's to come? More investigation outside of the mine, into the town. I don't know how much we can say about it, but I don't think you can learn more about the history of the mine without learning more about Sumter and the area.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Good answer.
You know, if you want to know the history of a place, you have to, you know, find out the history of all the surrounding areas and yeah.
The threat,
you know.
Joe.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add that this year we actually, this is like the major teaser here. This year we uncover something that has been hidden for so many years that I am so proud of all of us and so proud of the show and sci-fi and everything for putting it out there, that we uncovered something that's been hidden for countless years. something that's been needed to have been out in the light for a long time. So I just can't wait for that episode.
I'm gonna have to watch now.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Jay, you were there.
Here's my guess.
Yeah, we
uncovered some sort of major crime that occurred, and I think there may have been murder involved with the original, shutting down of the mine. I think that people may have been closed in there, and so on and so forth. So. With you saying that, I mean, it sounds pretty portentous. Sounds like it's a pretty big deal, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was that big a deal.
No, this is a big deal, and I'm so proud that we finally get to get this thing that's been hidden out into the light finally.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's a very, very interesting, and I will ponder it. In my sleep and waking hours until it all is revealed. So, I mean, that brings up a really, really a pressing, I suppose, as time goes on, question. So it seems, just from what we've seen so far, and it sounds like for what's upcoming, including this, sounds like a huge reveal at some point, that this will be another really successful season. And you guys know, too, especially Patrick and Jay, I live tweet the show, and I do a few other shows. You know, I just kind of wander around and do what I do, and this one really gets your show gets really extremely enthusiastic participation. So I think that's a really good sign. You know, I can just tell.
It's interesting. I don't. I've never been into paranormal shows, so I don't know how the other shows get involved with the viewers. I've had a few people actually respond to me and say, man, you guys are so cool because you actually interact with us. But I'm not doing anything special. I'm just sitting around in my underwear watching Ghost Mine and answering questions.
Oh, there's a photo.
Nasty.
Right there.
I'll have to Instagram that.
Yeah.
Still wearing that hat. Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hat and underwear.
The hat never comes off.
one of those never nudes, are you?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
We see worse on the mountain that isn't shown on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, having that's my big, huge build-up, right? My question is, where do you go from here if there would be a season 3? I mean, how would you handle that?
Guantanamo Bay!
And
wow.
There's Jamal's answer.
I'm just looking forward to get back to mining. You know, I want to get back in. I want to expand my mining skills and find some more stinking gold, whether there's ghosts or not, of course. The ghost thing adds a whole new realm of possibilities to where this can go. But I'll tell you what, I've become so used to mining with Patrick and Kristen there, it wouldn't be the same to not have them with us or to be in a job that didn't involve them in some way.
That's ongoing.
There, boy.
Well, what's that, Patrick?
So you just earned yourself a hug.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
Teresa, back to you. Back to you, Teresa. I'm sure you'd have not worn out used up your bucket of questions.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I have not used up my bucket of questions. When the season's over for the miners and you all go back home, when do you actually come back? Did you come back is it springtime when you come back? Is it summer? And when is the mining season exactly?
You know, the mining season actually starts whenever you can get to the mine. So the sooner the snow melts, the sooner you get back up there. And this season, in fact, I think there was a snippet of Dingus actually throwing a snowball at me because there was still snow when we got up there. So it's basically within the snow season, getting in and getting out. Now, most miners, tramp miners especially, will just go from job to job. So if it was the season that was shutting them out here, they'd just find another job in another state, maybe even another continent, where they would just go and work that mine. Jamal and I do have that option to be, go find another mine to work at. I think for the most part, we've been away from our family so long, and this is such a major lifestyle transition. There's almost a part of us that comes home and says, oh, let me stick around here for a little bit, and we'll see where when the next job comes up.
And where are you from? Jay, first you, where are you from? And then Jamal, where are you from originally?
I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I'm originally from Southern California. Now mm-hmm. everybody knows, and every Portlander will hate me.
And Jamal, where's your family located at? Where are you from?
Well, I'm from heaven. And
yes, you are. Those dreamy eyes, all the girls know it.
And your mother's womb.
Oh, no. I am born and bred in Oregon. So I was born in Portland, raised in Bend, and moved back to Portland.
And Patrick and Kristen, you're both from Oregon as well, correct?
I'm in Portland now, but originally from East Coast, Washington, D.C.
Oh. Yeah, I'm originally from Oregon. Yeah, see, you know, Oregon, that's so West Coast. We're so East Coast here. But so what happens to the mine? And I know that was an issue in the beginning of the show with who's guarding the gold when you guys are not there. I mean, is Stan there, the owner there, or who's guarding that gold?
Well, it's buried in snow pretty soon here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for the most part, when we're done with the season, we'll go ahead and close up the mine entrance, seal it off. You know, it's not bulletproof, but we'll seal it off. It'll get buried in snow. And then, of course, different mine sites will actually have an on-site security guard that stays there 24/7. They just kind of live there. But we're all sealed up and buried in snow out in Oregon here.
Wow. Well, I can't wait.
And that's inevitably,
that's
what led to the mine actually, it had to be rediscovered, so to speak, because it'll get closed up, buried in snow, and eventually the dirt and rocks and everything will just kind of slowly fade over the top there until it's not even visible.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before you got on, Jay, that even those hailstorms washed out the roads a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
You could tell after a couple years of it getting forgotten that road just disappear.
Oh, yeah, completely.
So it's almost inaccessible to a point when the season is over, just because of the road, the conditions of the mountain?
Oh, yeah.
So that kind
of,
I guess that would keep
well,
it safe.
Well, it is accessible
bit.
To a point. I mean, you get snowmobilers up in the mountains who can get up there and things like that. Half the time, you wouldn't even know where the mine is. There's, 12, 15
feet
of snow.
Yeah, it's a death trap.
Total death trap. And even if they got in there and found something, they'd still have to haul it out of there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the bigger danger, of course, is someone getting injured in there and no one knowing where they are or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, because people always forget about that. They see it on the show and they think it's like, oh, that's such a cool place to investigate or go explore. But these mines are so incredibly dangerous, especially the Crescent where it's, these guys just open it up after 80 to 100 years of it being shut down. This place is just, there are tunnels where Stan basically closed off and said, no one is going this way ever because they were so dangerous.
It's kind of like the Titanic when they bring up these wood pieces and they look fine, but over time, now that it's been introduced to, oxygen and things like that, all of a sudden it just instantly starts to decay. And some of these mines have been just filled with water up to, 6-7 feet of water where it's literally sat for 40, 50, 60 years with no interaction to the outside world. And then it opens up and oxygen swarms it and all of a sudden everything starts growing on it.
So are you afraid, and I'll ask you this all one by one and you can answer, you can be honest or brave, whatever. Are you scared? I mean, is that what scares you? Is the possibility of a cave-in or a loss of oxygen or a fire? What is the scariest part about being in the mine? Maybe it's the ghost. Tell me, what is, for all of you, and we can start with Kristen, Patrick, Jay, and Jamal, what is the scariest part of being in that mine?
For me, it's the possibility of a cave-in, for sure.
Cave-in.
Oxygen, obviously. I had a situation last year where I couldn't catch my breath. But...
you know, we had a cave-in last year. We didn't know that was going to happen. It just happened.
Oh.
Thank God nobody was in there when it did. These miners know what they're doing. They know what when it looks safe and when it doesn't. But yet, it's Mother Nature, you know, and she will choose. You know, she'll make her own choices, and so you can never really guess that. And for me, you know, and I mentioned last year and some of the episodes that the mind, it moans. When you're in that far into the earth, you hear noises. And every time I would hear a noise like that, I didn't know whether it was possibly something paranormal or we were, you know, the mountain was shifting and we were about to have a cave-in. So it's a really scary experience to know that you're in there in any moment, you know, as much as the miners make it safe for us, you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was the scariest part of working in there.
And Patrick, what about you?
Well, just to continue on Kristen's out there, yeah, I have to thank every single one of the miners, the two on the phone right now and the guys that we're not speaking with today, but I have to thank every single one of them for keeping Kristen and myself safe because they did. There's one, I can tell you about this one incident that happened that wasn't on film. I was standing, we're all kind of standing in this area, and Eddie's there, and he looks over my head, he just says, "Move." So I moved. And then he got Mikey to bar down this area right above my head, and like a 150-pound rock just fell down so easily. And it was basically, Eddie saw that I was about to get crushed and had his son move that rock before I did get crushed.
Mm.
So the mind itself is an incredibly dangerous, that's why I can't stress this enough. The mind is such an incredibly dangerous environment where it's, you don't know it. It has a life of its own, and it will take you out in a second if you're not aware. So that's the paranormal doesn't scare me. That scares me. I'm just so happy, so thankful that we had the right crew in place, these miners, to keep us safe.
And Jay and Jamal, for you two being the greenhorns of the group, it must have been quite an experience to be in that situation. And is that something that you considered before you went in there? Is that what scares you about going in the mine, the dangers of the cave-ins, or is it going home empty-handed with no gold?
Yeah, it's interesting because we take a complete different role reversal here. You fear the unknown. Our job is to go in the mine and make it as safe, not only for Patrick and Kristen, but for ourselves as we're working. And it's kind of like a race car driver doesn't fear that he might crash. You just kind of put those fears out of your mind that you're going to get blown up, you're going to drop rocks on you, you're going to get hurt in the mine. So truly what frightens me is the unknown of the possibility of something being in there that actually wants to do me harm, and I don't know what it is.
So it is like a role reversal. Jamal, does that scare you as well?
Well, I mean, the scariest thing that ever happened to me on this entire show is probably seeing Duck naked in the shower. But, no, the second thing was Dingus complimenting my cooking.
Yeah, that was impressive.
No, I would have to go with Kristen because, you know, when you're in there, it's really scary. And there were two times that I actually did not want to go back in there. I really didn't. And once was with Bucket, and once was with Dingus. And those are two really experienced miners. But I still felt very unsafe, and I did not want to go. But I did it. You know, you got to do what you got to do, or, you know, you got to tramp. So I did it. And those guys, you know, protected me, and, you know, I trust them wholeheartedly because everything was fine. But Kristen's answer definitely takes the cake because, I mean, if one of those Volkswagen-sized rocks fall on you, I mean, you're a grease spot. So that's you're not going home.
Wow.
Interesting.
Right, Eric,
good question. Good job, Teresa. I am patting you on the head metaphorically.
All right.
Hey, I have a question. Just noticing it's already 10:49. It's amazing how quickly these things go. We haven't got into Patrick. Your, you know, really extremely impressive technical acumen. Tell us how you upgraded. I know you mentioned it on the show, but just tell us about your upgrading your. I can't think of the name of it. I'm sorry
Rippa.
At the moment.
Rippa.
Your Rippa. It looked like you'd really made some, you know, pretty major improvements, and you do all that yourself, right?
Well, you got to put Christy in there too, please, because we are like Rippa is part of the team here. Yeah, so like we learned, like yes, I designed Rippa 1, I built Rippa 1, which was never used on the show, but Rippa 2 was just basically a beefed up Rippa 1, and Chris and I learned a lot last year, being our first time in the mine, what was needed to investigate properly. So after we left the mountain last year, Chris and I got together and we just kind of discussed about, okay, how do we make Rippa better? It's like, what improvements do we need to make? And we basically talked to our guy who built Rippa, because we don't build Rippa. Like Chris and I don't sit there and get grease on our hands and build Rippa. We have a guy who does that who's a lot smarter than us and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we
give
them the blueprint. So Chris and I made a list. Here's the changes we want to make. And we worked with this guy in L.A., and he basically built the Rippa 3 for us. And that's what you see now. It's like we just – and it's she's played a very pinnacle part in, like, our investigations. The arm has helped out because last year we were finding artifacts, and it would be great if we could grab it and bring it out of the mine. She got a little damaged last year. Rippa 2 got damaged because of the speakers and all this other stuff was external. So we moved it on the inside, and we added some new things like the oxygen meter we added into the internal components of Rippa. So it's really a I can't take all the credit at all. It's a joint venture.
Yeah, but you should take a lot. I mean, Patrick is the tech guy. He's a genius when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I appreciate, Patrick, you including me in this. And, yes,
yeah.
I'll throw out my ideas of what we need, but Patrick is really great at designing this kind of stuff and knowing how to make it work.
I don't care who designed it or who made it. I just wish one of you guys would let me freaking play with it.
You're not allowed. Greenhorns aren't allowed.
I know.
You just play
now,
your jack leg, and that's it.
Can it go all the way in now? You were talking about that ballroom being a mile. I mean, I just can't even imagine going a mile underground, but in that little tiny hole. But regardless, can Rippa go that far in?
Yeah, because we added repeaters throughout the mine this time. Because there's a lot of stuff that isn't shown on the show because we have limited time. But with the cameras, we added repeaters, so the signal actually travels all the way that far.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Very impressive. Are others, I would think by now that others would be reaching out to you guys to be able to use it or you know, to get the design for their own use. I would think it would have other applications.
Well, the greatest thing is I've actually heard from just miners themselves and, like, people working in mines that want a Rippa-type device to use just for the safety aspect of it because they're dealing with, Last episode ended with a fuse didn't go off or something like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're waiting to see what happened
in a parade.
Now hold on a second. If I find out you let some other people play with it before you let me play with it, I will be really pissed.
No.
And if it's a money thing,
just,
we can talk about that.
They're just asking, but they
other
minds all over the country are asking me. If stuff, because the fuse not going off and other, like, dangerous situations happen in these mines all over the world. So people are contacting me saying, where can we get a Rippa just for the safety aspect of it, not the paranormal?
Yeah.
So it's like
maybe
one day Rippa will be just
standard
in,
mining,
like, with,
protocol.
Like standard miner, like, equipment.
Rippa rock.
Wow, how gratifying would that be?
I don't
think
it's in the normal paranormal investigator's budget. We can't even afford full spectrum cameras, let alone a Rippa 3. But maybe
all right, send in the Rippa.
Yeah.
We'll stick a flashlight or a camera on a remote control car and see how far that goes in. It's about all we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was Ripple 1. Ripple 1 was
Yeah, that's
how
it
was.
Started. Yeah.
Just imagine if Zach had a Ripple, he would never have to wear that stupid mask.
No.
Is Teresa still on the line?
We won't go into that. That's amazing. Go ahead.
I actually wanted to tell Teresa that I didn't say that the paranormal aspects were the scariest because Patrick and Kristen made me feel really safe when they were there.
Dude, you guys are going to make me cry.
Give yourself a hug now. Yeah.
And you know what, Jamal?
They really did.
They didn't want to say that your food was the most frightening part about being at the mine either, because they didn't want to.
Oh, how dare you, you little devil.
Well, luckily, Kristen and I didn't have to stick around for the food.
He made a pack of
I'm totally going to cook for him,
back down
I definitely will cook for Patrick and Kristen soon.
You know
yeah.
what? When this is over, Jamal's going to be on Iron Chef. I can see it next season when the season closes down. Yeah, right on Iron Chef.
3,000 feet of muddy cutbacks, but at least the food's good.
Oh, I want Teresa to be my agent.
Today's secret ingredient will be baked beans.
Mm. Oh, baked beans are the worst in a mine.
Oh,
my gosh. We're taking a whole new Phantom Wind approach.
Oh,
the
yeah.
oxygen has been sucked out of the mine. Driven out by methane.
Yep, exactly.
Add
another danger to the environment there.
On a serious note, I should add all the safety elements and testing the air and the oxygen and shoring up the mine itself and looking where can you drill, where should you place the dynamite. That's a really interesting aspect of the show, and I think that the mining aspect in general is really part of what makes it special. I mean, it's a fascinating paranormal investigation and atmosphere and environment and the interpersonal issues. That's all amazing. But the mining aspect is really, really interesting. And, you forget, it's easy to forget that things aren't that different now from 100 years ago or 200 years ago or, the entire history of mining, in that the basics are still the same. The tools are basically the same. Things progress a little bit. You got meters where before you had canaries,
sure.
But the basics of the job are the same, and it's very dangerous. It's tough.
And that's very true, and that's actually one of the things that intrigued me to want to go into mining was the history aspect of it all. While a lot of things haven't changed, you're right, a lot of things have changed in the sense like dynamite, it still blows up, but it's much safer than it used to be. Hand drill or hand steel drilling versus jackleg drilling is very different. But the fact that what amazes me is that these people, would go miles and miles underground just with the power of their own hands. Basically a chisel and a hammer just pounding away at the thing and loading it with dynamite. That just fascinates me.
It is amazing.
We got this big jackleg that takes a lot of the work. I won't say all of it because that thing is a beast to handle. But, it helps
us
power through.
Yeah, like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
That is a forearm workout, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to go to the gym or anything.
I'm pretty much gifted in the muscle department anyway, so I don't need to go to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm like Patrick,
monster.
Absolute beast.
All right. Well, my goodness, how much fun that we got to talk to all four of you, kind of pairs from across the aisle. We had the Republicans and the Democrats represented here. And how fun.
I'm independent.
You're all really, really fun to watch and very charismatic. And I think it really is a tremendous cast, and that's a big part of the show, too.
Yeah, well,
thank you for
having us on there. Kristen, we miss you, hon. Patrick,
totally.
Not so much, but but it's good to talk to everyone again. And yeah, thank you for having us on the show. This was fun.
Our pleasure.
I just wish there was more of Kristen's voice rather than Patrick and Jay.
All right, you both just lost your hugs. That's it.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Said nice about us. It's gone.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Well, we need to remind people that Ghost Mine is on Wednesdays at 10 Eastern and Pacific, and we're just getting into this new season. Of tomorrow's show will only be the third episode. All kinds of amazing things have already happened. If you guys haven't been watching the show, we wholeheartedly recommend it. I remember when Teresa and I were talking about, you know, having Patrick and Kristen on before we'd seen an episode, and we thought, man, it just sounds so contrived. You know, whatever, we'll give it a go. We love all the paranormal shows. You know, who knows? We'll see. But man, it really has turned out to be fascinating, kind of on multiple fronts, and I think that's why it has done so well. And this season is off to a great start. I agree with Teresa that I think the production and the editing is even better. And whereas a lot of reality, quote unquote, shows, you know, they fear the tension being reduced because that's really all it's about. I think the tension being reduced between you guys and the miners just opens the door to all this other, to being able to focus on all this other fascinating stuff that's going on. And it's great to see that, you know, those relationships develop. That's part of it, too.
Yeah
definitely.
Yeah.
Because we are a team. Like, we're a team till the end now. So, to answer a previous question, like, Chris and myself and every single one of the miners, we are a team. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
And it shows. Teresa, what say you?
I say thanks a lot for coming on. It was a pleasure to have you. It's great to have all four, the four of you on was a lot of fun. I have one more question for Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, how cute is Adam Copeland in person?
Oh, my gosh,
God.
He is so cute.
Well, the funny thing was that
he's cute. Isn't he so
cute? He's very cute, but also the miners' wives that were there, they kept trying to hook me up with him. They did.
I was going to say, wait,
like,
what'd my wife do?
They were all in on it, actually. And he has, as far as I know, he has a child and a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I was like, I appreciate you ladies looking out for me. But he is
patient,
but thank you very much.
Yeah,
but
he has a brand new daughter.
Yeah. You know what?
Oh, that's right. Congratulations.
You guys are all married. He's easy on the eyes. You guys are married.
He
is
married.
I had to look down when I first met him, you know, hello, and look at the ground real quick because I blushed. But yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Good luck for the season. I can't wait to watch the rest of the shows, and we'll have to have you guys back on again. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Try that mac and cheese,
darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye, Patrick.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
Night.
Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Don't forget, Ghost Mine, Wednesdays, sci-fi at 10. And, of course, we'll be back with America's Most Haunted next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern with another exceptional episode. And good night to everyone. Thanks so much. Really enjoyed it. Lots and lots of fun. Have a great week, everybody.
Good night.